chapter. Know ye not, brethren, verse number one, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. Now I take that to mean, apart from the spiritual import there, I take that to mean literally that when a man and woman are joined together in holy matrimony, that they are bound by God to live together the rest of their lives, save fornication. I believe the Lord Jesus says in two different places that there is one alternative here. There is one reason or one grounds for a divorce, and that's a fornication. Or some seem to think that fornication and adultery are different. There may be some difference there, but I don't think so. It's an illegitimate relationship, and that is the grounds for divorce. And apart from that, there is no ground for divorce. There is such a thing, I believe, as separation from bed and board. I think maybe that somehow could be worked in. That is, to be separated from a living partner for a season. But there's no law that would permit men and women to separate for just the reasons that are given nowadays, such as, you know, incompatibility. It is incompatibility, I guess, means we just are not able to get along. Our likes and dislikes are too strong, and we just can't get along. So I think that I feel sorry for anybody that has been divorced apart from those grounds. My heart aches for them. I don't know what their stand is before God. I really don't know. That's a serious thing, and it ought to be considered. It ought to be not taken lightly, especially young people, as they think about marriage and so forth. I remember here not too long ago, a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, I married a couple, and they were both unsaved, and they come to my house and want to know if I would join them together in matrimony. And I said, well, as a servant of the state, I'd be glad to do it. And I knew the fella, didn't know his wife too well. She was a school teacher, and I think he worked in the mines in Ohio. And so I talked to him for a great length about this, and insisted that they better consider this. They better look at it in every angle, because, boy, once this is done, it's done for life. Under God, it's done for life. And they're making some serious vows here, and not to take it lightly. And talked to them, I think, two different occasions about this. And, oh, yes, they agreed with that and assented to it. Yeah, that's right. Well, just here the other day, someone told me, well, said, so-and-so, they've separated, going to get a divorce. I said, well, my soul, only been married about 2 years. I said, wonder what the problem was. Well, they didn't know what it was. I come by their home here the other day, just bought a home not too long ago. I come by their home, a big for sale sign on their house. Well, if they're granted a divorce, and it's not on the grounds of adultery, well, then they have forfeited whatever right they might have had to enjoy companionship with the opposite species for the rest of their life. That's a serious thing, I think. It's not adultery. Now, I know a lot of people come and say, well, they'll give you a great big argument about, I'm sure that my husband was unfaithful, or I'm sure that my wife was unfaithful, but you can't prove it. But I don't know for sure. There's always that doubt. I don't know for sure, but I'll get a divorce on other grounds, but I think that so-and-so was unfaithful to me. Well, I think we ought to be absolutely 100% sure about this thing. It says here that the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as she lives. She's bound to him. And Jesus said if she goes off and marries another, she lives in adultery, and he who marries her lives in adultery. And you know that no adulterer or adulteresses will ever enter into the kingdom of God unless they've been blood washed. The Bible says, and such were some of you. So it is a very, very serious thing. Woman which hath a husband, she's bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. And if the husband be dead, husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. If her husband dies, then she can go on and she can remarry. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man. Now listen to that. If she be married to another man while her husband's living, she shall be called an adulteress. Those are pretty hard words, and I don't know. Would you call someone an adulteress that you knew, by their own testimony? It'd be kind of, it wouldn't be the right thing to do, but yet the Bible says that's what they are, an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. But it's hard to get this across to people. There's not anybody that I haven't married that I haven't tried to tell them things of this nature. And I haven't even at the wedding I've pointed things out to them. Say, now you're sure about this? You sure you know what you're doing? Boy, what you're entering into is a lifetime. It's for life. It's for as long as you live. Be sure about it. Don't make a mistake here. Don't make a mistake. Mess your whole life up. Don't do it. But yet, of course, we're all that way at one time or the other. Young and eager, and thought we knew what we were doing, but none of us knew what we were doing. It was in spite of us. God has so blessed and cared for us in spite of us. In spite of our ignorance, kept us together and so forth. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'll bet you there'd be people right here right now and tell you, well, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I doubt seriously if I'd be what I am today in the matter of family relationship. Well, therefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. We talked about that at great length. Law was fulfilled in Christ Jesus and satisfied every intent of it to the last, even to the least of the dotting of an I and the crossing of a T. Dead to that law in that sense, dead to the law by the body of Christ. And we've been married to another. We've been married to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our husband. Ye should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. What shall we say then? Paul says in light of this. What shall we reply to this? What shall we say? Is the law sin because we've been delivered from it? Paul answers the question and says, God forbid. Nay, or no, said, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. This is the experience of the Apostle Paul here. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and it slew me, killed me. Therefore the law is holy and the commandments holy, just and good. Then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might be exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. But the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Just let me make a few comments here for this evening, and we'll leave it go at that. And this 24th verse, O wretched man that I am, which sums up five or six verses here from verses 15 on through to the end of the chapter. Oh, wretched man that I am. It talks about the wretchedness of Paul. Now, I think the wretchedness of Paul lay in two things. And I think these two things are certain enough to make any man wretched. Now, Paul believed the truth of human responsibility. That is, that he was a rational, responsible agent, a creature of God Almighty. He was responsible. He believed in human responsibility. Yet, Paul felt the truth of human inability. There's human responsibility, and then there is human inability. Now, what I'm saying is this. I know that it's my duty to be perfect. God hath commanded us to be perfect. I know that's my duty, and I think that you know that that's your duty, to be absolutely perfect, to strive to that end, to follow on after holiness. Now, I know that's my duty to be perfect, but yet I, as well as Paul, am conscious of the fact that I cannot be. I know that every time I sin, whether it be word or thought or deed, I'm guilty, and yet I'm certain that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I shall be guilty of sin until I am separated from this body of flesh. Now, I'm unable to get rid of the thoughts of sin, but I know that I ought to. I know I ought to. That's human responsibility. I know that there is thoughts of sin that pass through my mind. I know that. But I know that I'm unable to get rid of the thoughts of sin. But I know what I ought to be and what I ought to do. I know that it is my business and the business of every Christian. I know that it's his business, it's my business to keep the law of God perfectly in letter and in spiritual content. Yet I find a law that when I would do good, Paul said, evil is present. So I say, O wretched man that I am, commanded by God to be perfect, just to be as perfect as my Father is perfect, yet still influenced by the sin that dwells in me. Now, I refuse to become a hard shell. I refuse to become an antinomian and justify my sins by pleading my inability. I refuse to do that. I refuse to be dishonest with myself. I refuse to be dishonest with you. I refuse to be dishonest with God Almighty by denying my responsibility or my inability. I can't deny my responsibility. I can't deny my inability. What shall I do? Oh, wretched man that I am, what shall I do about this dilemma? What shall I do? This is what Paul says to do. Well, this is what I'll do. I think this is what you ought to do. I shall continue to confess my sins. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I shall continue to confess my sins, weep over my sins, and pray for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to become more like Him. Now, I'm still a sinner, saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you here not too long ago about I preached to these ladies at the Arbors there in Fairmore every Thursday. Tomorrow I'll go there tomorrow. And after the service, I told you about this one lady. She said, "Well," she said, "she just come to me. She said, I just don't understand this business about being a sinner." She said, I'm saved, but you constantly refer to me, to yourself, to others as sinners. She said, after we're saved, she said, then sin dwells no more in us. We're not sinners then. We're not sinners then. I said, we're sinners till the day we die. And I tried to explain to her responsibility and her inability. But she didn't see what I was talking about. And I'm sure that she was offended because she didn't come back the next service. And I asked about her. But they said they didn't know where she was. So, I think, brethren, the way out of the dilemma, we can't deny human responsibility. We can't deny our inability. We can't deny either one. All we can do is to confess our sins unto God. Weep over our sins. A broken and a contrite heart. That's what pleases Him. A broken heart. Well, one day, my struggle and your struggle will be over. There's a struggle, you see, between the flesh and the spirit. There's a constant wrestling. There's a struggle here between the two. And one day this struggle will be over. One day my Lord and your Lord shall come, and when I shall see Him, I shall be like Him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That is, when the struggle's over. When the struggle's over. When we die, or if the Lord comes for us before that, the struggle will be over. The wretchedness of this man will be over. Thanks be to God, Paul said, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the wretchedness of the Apostle Paul, but the blessedness of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Him who has died under the law and hath been married to another, even the Lord. Paul said He gives us the victory. Thanks be unto the God who sent Him. He gives us the victory over human responsibility, inability, and our sins. Weep over your sins. Confess your sins. Well, that's all I have.